Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. John Huckenberry here with Farai Chidea. And the ads for General Motors were running well before the company emerged in essentially record time from bankruptcy.
This is not about going out of business. This is about getting down to business. Because the only chapter we're focused on is Chapter 1.
Helping to write that Chapter 1 for the new General Motors is Vice Chairman of GM, Bob Lutz, who joins us on the phone from Detroit, Michigan. Mr. Lutz, thanks so much for being on The Takeaway this morning.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's great to talk to you again. We've talked over many years, and this is certainly a very different moment. Although I have to say, General Motors has typically announced some pretty ambitious plans, even emerging from bankruptcy. 10 new products in the U.S. market, 43 or something like that, nameplates. First of all, might it be better to focus on one or two successes like the Camaro? You sold 10,000 units of that car recently as a month ago.
Camaro is white hot. As a matter of fact, we are focusing on, we are focusing down. As you know, we had to abandon four brands, which is Saab, Hummer, Pontiac, and three brands, and focus down on Buick, GMC, Chevrolet, and Cadillac. We're going from about, close to 90 market entities or individual models down to a product portfolio sort of in the mid-30s. And we're really concentrating on excellence. And I must say, everything we've introduced over the past few years has been introduced to tremendous critical acclaim and has, in fact, sold well. You know, our problem was financial and market collapse. It wasn't that we were building bad vehicles that the public wasn't buying.
Although that suggests that now that you're out of bankruptcy with these huge overhead costs pulled away, you'll immediately be profitable. Is that your prediction?
Well, that would be the plan if we had a normal economy. But with the sort of 9.8 million annual rate, which is about half of the 17 million that the U.S. market was only 2 or 3 years ago.
That's unit sales. That's number of cars sold. Okay.
Yeah, that's unit sales for the whole industry, of which we have about 21, 22%. But as you know, Toyota is bleeding losses and cash even faster than we are. They just started out with a much larger money pile. But with this restructuring and with the legacy costs gone, our goal is to be break even at 10 million units, which would be an incredible performance. And if we get some sort of economic recovery and it rises to 11 or 12, doesn't have to go back to 17, but if we get 12 and a half, 13 million units, yes, we should be very profitable.
All right, Bob, this is Farai. And you're the vice chairman of General Motors. You were just talking about what it takes for you to be profitable. What are the terms of the government agreement that allows you to operate? And what I mean by that is, if you do become profitable, is this profit that you keep? Is this profit you have to repay to the U.S. government? How do you see that affecting you?
Well, it's true. The U.S. government is the greatest shareholder. And the government is not directly involved. The government has appointed some new board members, but it will be run exactly like a private company, and it will be run for the benefit of its shareholders. Now, we have some government loans, which we want to repay as quickly as we can because we want to get rid of the interest expense. And then in phase two, we want to be profitable enough and successful enough that the stock rises. And then the U.S. government will successively sell its shareholdings, and we will replace it with private equity. And our goal is to be back being a wholly privately owned company in 2 or 3, or at the latest 4 years' times. And frankly, that's the goal of the U.S. government too. The U.S. government has absolutely no interest in owning a car company.
And so you're tracking that stock rise to get you out from underneath the government obligations over the next 2 to 3 years, I guess.
Yeah,
so that would be a...
Nobody knows what the real timetable is, because nobody knows how the economy is going to develop. If we have some sort of rapid economic recovery and car sales overall are higher, but, you know, it could be earlier if we sort of cruise along in the economic doldrums for another 5 or 6 years. It could be longer.
Well, we don't want to talk finances so much with you, because in many ways you typify the notion of style and design as the key core value of General Motors and the success of the American auto industry. But I'm wondering, in this downturn, this economic downturn, where you've also got energy prices at a high level, that America's love affair with the automobile has cooled, and that people look at cars as transportation, and that for the new GM, maybe Bob Lutz is exactly the wrong guy who's so associated with the sexiness, the lifestyle, the whiz and pizzazz of cars. People just don't look at him that way anymore.
Well, that's your postulate is actually wrong. There is a category of people that buy automobiles that are appliances, but let me just give you an example. The old Chevy Malibu was an appliance. We had a huge amount of trouble selling it. The average transaction price, because of all the discounting, was about $16,500. Along comes the new Malibu, where we spent some money on making it absolutely gorgeous and making it look like it was $20,000 more expensive than it actually was. And the average transaction price is $22,500, and we're at the limit of capacity.
Wow.
The same thing. So style is the number one differentiator. The old Chevy Equinox, which most people remember, was a perfectly serviceable vehicle. It did the job fine. It had good fuel economy. The new Chevy Equinox, which is restyled inside and out, and of course has some mechanical improvements, but when the first ones hit the dealers were ecstatic, because they knew this thing was going to be white hot. And sure enough, it is.
Well, we started talking about the white hot Camaro. Do you have to fuse the Camaro with the Volt to sell the new breed of electric cars that General Motors is counting on?
Well, you know, we have to do both. We have to be energy conscious. We have to gradually transition the company to the electrification of the automobile, which, you know, with finite petroleum resources, I think is inevitable. But we're going to try to do that with style, too. But you're mentioning the Camaro as the perfect example of the fact that automobile purchases are not rational. And I'll tell you another demonstration that they're not rational. Is the rejection by many people of domestic brands. And I'll say to some Mercedes or BMW owner and say, well, here, drive this new Cadillac CTS. Well, no, just drive it. Drive it for a couple of days. I want you to try it. The person comes back and says, that car is fantastic.
Well, rationality or irrationality of car purchases, Bob Lutz is going to have to live or die by the irrationality of Americans. Bob Lutz, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Bob Lutz, Vice Chairman of General Motors, the new GM.